Let's read Psalm 103 as God's special message, word to us this morning, as if he were standing here, audibly speaking. This is what he would say to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes it. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you servants of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord in all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, what is on David's heart? To bless the Lord, to praise the Lord. And he begins with this wonderful testimony. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, we've talked about this before, but what does it mean to bless? There'll be times when we meet people, and when we leave the conversation, they'll say, God bless you. Now, what do they mean by that? Well, it's a good thing. Means may God favor you, may God help you, may God strengthen you, may God cover your life, may God do a good thing for you. So how then do we bless the Lord? Well, we're wanting praise and honor and glory given to the Lord. So that should be what we mean when we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now David said, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now we have to think about this. With all that is within me, that means with physical energy, everything in my being, as hard as I might play basketball or soccer or football or whatever I get into that requires physical energy, I should be willing to devote that to the Lord. All that is within me mentally, with full concentration, no distractions, no idolatry. All that is within me emotionally, to pour out my heart in devotion. Bless the Lord, O Bill Acton. and Darren and Skip and Cindy and Debbie and Jane and Faye, with all that is within us, bless His holy name. Are we ready to do that? Are we going to hold back? Reserve something. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. What a testimony. David is sincere about this. This is his life. Now then, with that testimony, he moves in immediately to counting his blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, all that has been given you and granted you, and how He has graced you. And he begins with forgiveness. Who forgives all your iniquities, and we're going to get into that in a later verse, as he elaborates on the extent of our forgiveness. Now here he uses the word all. Who forgives all your iniquities. Now there's several words for sin used in the Bible. One of them is sin, which means missing the mark of God's glory. Iniquity means to be crooked or twisted or bent out of shape. There's something wrong with you that needs straightening. And that's your sin, called an iniquity. And he forgives all your iniquities. All your iniquities. He forgives all your sin. He forgives all your transgressions. And why does God do that? Because He is righteous, and because He has is just, and a full and complete punishment has already been exacted. If Christ paid the penalty for your sin, it would be wrong for God not to forgive your sin. So in a sense, he is bound to his own justice to forgive fully, completely. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? And we experience that partially here on earth. But one day we will have the full and complete healing, where we will be with no disease at all. And while we are here, certain things hit our life. And we should remember that it is God who is using medicine, therapies here on earth. See, you should not even take an aspirin without depending on the Lord to use them. Because after all, he had created the components that go into that medicine. So while we do use earthly medicine, only God really does the healing with it. And excuse me if you are on Advil rather than aspirin. It's okay. Whatever you do, use it that way. Now, he forgives, he heals, he redeems your life. Well, we could study redemption for the rest of our life. It means paying the price adequate to forgive your sin. Now he crowns your life. That is, while we don't believe in degrees of rewards in heaven, yet there are rewards that are equal to all believers. And that main one, of course, the crown is eternal life. He satisfies your soul, your mouth, with good things. Satisfies. Now, there used to be a chorus that young people would sing. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. And there's a certain reality there. If you're still looking somewhere else for forgiveness, then you don't have Christ as your Savior. If Christ is your Savior, you're satisfied. You believe it. So you don't look around for other things for peace and joy. He satisfies. And then he says in verse 5 that you're renewed, your youth is renewed like the eagles. And Isaiah also speaks about that, about being renewed. And God graciously, patiently, faithfully does that for us, because we'll be down at times. There'll be difficult times. Does God leave us there? No, he lifts us out. He renews us like the eagles. So David begins this great psalm with this great personal testimony. Then he begins to count his blessings. Now, what a pattern to live this day. To start this day, blessing the Lord, O my soul, and counting our blessings. And don't worry about what we don't have. Be thankful for what we have. Then he gets into verses 6 to 11 about recalling God's goodness. And he gets into specific things here, beginning in verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And he gets into great attributes, his justice. And then he talks about God's revelation. Thank God for his word. He made known his ways to Moses. He made known his ways to the apostles. He makes known his ways to us through the Bible. And God was not obligated to do this for any human being. God's revelation is a grace. All his attributes, he is full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and glorious in forgiveness, is what the psalmist is saying. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. And now in the next few verses, verse 11 to 14, he is going to be more specific about this forgiveness. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed his transgressions from us. That is the extent of God's forgiving grace. He has removed our sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. Here is grace that is impossible to believe in the flesh. Only a person indwelt by the Holy Spirit can possibly believe the truth that David has written here. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities, but he has removed our sin from us. Now he uses symbolic language here to discuss the completeness. As far as the east is from the west means that there are no boundaries. The removal of our sin means that it no longer exists. And that for the believer now, I've just recently reviewed a book by John Gerstner called Repent or Perish. And John Gerstner has a chapter, Does God Love the Sinner and Hate the Sin? Which is the popular modern thought. And he makes it very clear, no, God hates the sinner with a holy hatred, and they are doomed to destruction, to hell forever, and they will get what they deserve. God
has a holy love for his people. For those of us who believe, God has a holy love. And we will get what we deserve, which is eternal life and forgiveness in heaven, solely on the merit of the cross of Christ. No other reason. He has removed our sin, your sin, and my sin is forgiven before we even commit it. Now try to swallow that this morning, will you? Digest that. This is Christian faith. This is Christian truth. Now, how does that make you respond? I'm overwhelmed at the goodness and the forgiving grace of my God, therefore I serve him. It doesn't make me say, oh boy, I'm going out and commit all the evil I can think of today. An unbeliever would respond that way, but a believer would respond simply to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Give me the faith to believe and trust in this, the removal of our sin. And the psalmist states that as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust, because he understands our weakness. And he understands what we're made of, and he is patient, and he deals with us that way. David, someday we're going to thank you that God used you to pen this psalm so that we could have it as our truth this day, these days on earth. What glorious truth. His personal testimony, counting his blessings, recalling God's goodness, explaining God's forgiveness. In the next few verses, he talks about the temporary earthly existence. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over and it's gone. His place is remembered no more. The temporary earthly existence. There's plenty of times in my life when I am very thankful that this isn't going to last forever, that there is an end to this earthly existence, and really it's very, very temporary. Whatever number of years a human may live, it's very, very temporary, even for Adam and Noah and Abraham. The people who live 700 to 800 years is nothing, and they're like the flower of the field. They will be blown away. Now then, David gets into the commitment of God to his people, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Men are temporary; God is eternal. His mercy of the Lord is everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his commandment, to those who remember his commandments to do them. God's commitment is to his people. It's everlasting. It passes from parents to children to grandchildren and to such as have his covenant. So God's commitment is eternal. Now, in verse 19, is a verse to memorize. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. He refers to the universal sovereignty of Jehovah. He has a kingdom. There is the symbolic throne, and there is the rulership. It's over all. His kingdom rules over all. And when you catch the news, the news that's going on around the world, what's happening in the world and in the country, we have to be thankful that God rules over all. Every political entity, every military power, whatever it is, God rules over all. And you think about security, the security for our nation. Where does it rest? Well, we've had the supposed fall of communism, that Russia, in a sense, has fallen from communism. And that is partially true, so that there is less fear of a war, a nuclear war, supposedly. But now, Russia is in a very, very precarious predicament. Boris Yeltsin's health is just at the lowest ebb of a human being. The new man who is under him was the general leading the military, hard-nosed, strong man. They are continuing to develop nuclear weapons by the thousands with the money that we give them in foreign aid, and that their missile power at this moment would be able to destroy us if they get the jump. So where is security? And with the lessening of our military power and the weakening of our defense by this administration, we are in a precarious position. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom is over all. That's where we rest. That's where we look for our security, into the universal sovereignty of Jehovah. David concludes the psalm by a call to praise. He calls the angels. Angels, praise the Lord. You servants of his, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, so on. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you servants of his. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. There's a call for universal praise and blessing to the Lord. Wonder. What a wonderful song, and a privilege to think about it and look at it this morning with this personal testimony, and to count the blessings, to recall God's goodness and his great attributes, and to get in on the explanation of his forgiveness, and the reminder that we are temporary, and to review God's commitment to us. What a great, great truth God has laid before us, and we'll pray that he will apply it to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that you have chosen us to gather here, and that you have chosen this passage of Scripture for us to hear. And I pray now with my friends and for my friends that you will use this passage of Scripture now and apply it to my heart and cause me to bless your name with all that is within me. And I pray that you will apply this truth to Faye and to Skip and to Cindy and to Darren, to Derek, to Debbie, to Jane, to Daniel, to David, to Linda, the children. Lord, make this go from generation to generation, from grandparents to parents to children, that the truth of this song may be believed and lived out in our lives. May Jesus Christ, our glorious Lord, be lifted up and honored. In his name, amen.